Protectors podcast. See how I shifted the voice into the protectors mode? What's going on, Callie?
Oh man, not much, man. Just hanging out, doing my thing.
Well, you know, one thing, Callie's been on a show a bunch of times in the past, co-hosting, guest spotting. It's been a while, man. We've got to talk guns and gear and shooting, because you're getting into the competition world. I can't even say you're getting in it. You are like knee deep into the competition world now.
Oh yeah, it's been fun, man. It's a lot of data, a lot of information. That's kind of how I try to look at it, so I don't get nervous about it. Just all it is data.
You know, I've been sticking to the pistol thing because I'm like, hey, you know, I know pistols, but I really want to start doing like the outlaw two guns. I kind of don't want to do three gun because I really just want to focus on rifle pistol.
Yeah. I'm not that interested in shotgun. Like, shotgun's really not that hard, not that difficult. And it's get really good at reloading a shotgun really fast and you're fine.
Yeah.
But as far as the rifle goes, it's super technical, right? So for a lot of our two gun competitions, we have engagements with the rifle anywhere from 5 yards out to 400 yards. So you have to know holds. You have to know, I use an offset on my rifle. So anything in like 15 and under is going to be on my offset. So I'm going to be canting my rifle with a little, I have a Delta Point Pro on the side. And then I have a 4-16 on the top. I got a little Athlon $600 optic. You don't need anything crazy. Mil reticle. Obviously we're stepping away from MOA. MOA is an old way of measuring your looking at your reticle. So for anybody who doesn't know what MOA means, it's minute of angle. And basically you're just, when you're zeroing your rifle or zeroing your optic, your measurements are in inches. Mils are in millimeters. So take a compass and then flip your compass sideways and you're getting angles, and it's a more precise form of measurement. So when you start reaching out really far, that's where you want those, that fine tuning. And you can do that with the mil reticle.
What's the distance here, like max distance on these two guns?
I haven't seen anything past 400. And if they did have something past 400, that's like with a bolt gun that's already set up, kind of pointed at the target and you just pull the trigger on it. They'll throw in stuff like that. Like once you break the shot, that's when your time will start. So it's a little fun. It's nothing crazy though.
Are these outlaw or is this like a division or?
So they haven't been outlaw. A couple of them have been outlaw. So outlaw is basically you can run multiple guns at the match. You pick two guns for that stage. And then if you got four more that you want to use for other stages, great. But for most of ours, it's just been find your two guns and run those two guns for the stages.
You know, I dig that because there are so many different leagues and divisions and people and money and all sorts of things. It's sometimes I just want to go and compete, shoot. And be so, I don't know, not grounded, but just so like
constrained.
Constrained. That's the word.
Yeah.
Constrained. Because there's nothing like just plinking and, you know, having fun.
IDPA and USPSA have a lot of constraints to them.
Yeah.
Right. So you can't have a leg strap, which I find to be absurd. And I don't actually understand what the reasoning is behind not having the leg strap. Because I like to have my pistol secured to the side of my leg. And it also keeps my belt from shifting some too, right? I think it's more of a safety thing for me. I really like having that, but no drop holsters, stuff like that. I'm like,
You know, USPSA, I'd say, drop holsters, leg straps, all the other stuff. IDPA, I can see because it's international defensive pistol. It's supposed to be like kind of like undercover, you know, like.
Yeah.
But there are some rules that like, for me, it's like, for IDPA, there's different ways they tackle a room. Like to me, it's like the first target I see, I'm going to shoot it. With them, it's all about the slicing the pie. And it just, there's like different rules that really drive me crazy. And like the round count. So I want to shoot this. I got a new Wilson Combat EDC X9. The thing holds 15 rounds. But because I go into a certain division, I can only put 10 in it. And to me, it makes no sense. Because I'm like, whatever that firearm is, I mean, yeah, and there's different divisions and different this and stuff. But it's just interesting because I shot an IDPA over the weekend and I went to service pistol. Was it stock service pistols? Because I had a Glock 17. Mm-hmm. Now I'm shooting 15 rounds with a Glock 17. It's like I could just shoot all day long, you know? So I don't know. Some of the rules kind of drive me crazy and I'm probably being ignorant about it. Maybe there's something special. I don't know, but it just, I don't know.
I think a lot of those rules need to be redefined. And instead of having civilians who don't really understand out in the wild that you want to have, you know, if you can have 22 rounds in your pistol at a time, you want to have all 22 rounds in your pistol. Now, if you're going to have an ammo constraint, just make it a Virginia count for that stage, right? Like keep it simple. But as far as like limiting pistols on their counts for a division, I find that kind of weird.
Yeah. I just want to get out there and shoot and I want to have fun and I don't want to spend a whole metric ton of time either. Cause I find like with the two guns and stuff, you know, you go into some of these matches and you're on a stage for like an hour and a half and you shoot for like a minute and 20 seconds or 120 seconds or 2 minutes, you know, whatever that is.
Yep.
And you're just like, do, 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 do. And it's just, I'm one of those people that I like to get in. I like to do my shooting. I like to move on.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's one thing I tell people too. I'm like, look, competitions are a lot of fun, but it can be very time consuming. You've got 15 people on a squad. All 15 people have to go. So it's 120 second par time typically for these stages. And then now you have to, once that person's done shooting, everybody's going to run down there, tape stuff, set steel back up, and then reset the whole thing. It's like, you might do 6 total minutes shooting for the entire day and a 8-hour day.
Uh-huh.
But it's fun, man. You meet awesome people out there. I've met some really, really cool people out there, picked up some new clients out there. And just, it's a really good way to go.
You brought up a damn good point because that's the thing is meeting different people. Like we have an IDPA up here and it's at the NRA range and it's quick. It's like, boom, 4 to 5 stages, 5 people. You run in there, you pick a time slot you want to shoot. So like I shoot mid-afternoon. I go in there, I do my hour. I meet a bunch of people. We talk shit for a little while and we move on. But that's the thing is like, I've met so many people outside of our like military LEO and other tactical, quote unquote, tactical community that it's like, it's awesome to see like just regular people that love shooting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you'd be surprised the people who get into shooting. I'm like, hey, what do you do? This guy's like, I'm an accountant. I'm like, oh, that's super awesome. This other guy's like, I own I don't even know what you would call the company, but basically he's like owns the companies that where people rent the chairs on the beach, the and the umbrellas. He crushes it. I was like, dang, dude, that's pretty sweet. The all walks of life show up out there. The one thing I see with people is they get nervous about the performance on demand piece, right? So going out there and shooting in front of people that they don't know. I'm like, look, it's like I said this earlier, it's just data. Like you're out there to learn. You're out there to get information so you can push yourself and progress. And that's how I look at every single match. I'm like, okay, what are my goals for each stage? What am I going to learn? What did I learn from my last, you know, 7 matches? How do I apply that to this so I don't continue to make the same mistake?
It pushes you. And that's the thing is like when you hear that buzzer, it's a little bit of adrenaline and you're like, ooh.
A lot of it.
Yeah. And if you're not used to that, you know, coming from the LEO world, it's crazy because all, you know, I wrote a little article about this the other day about qualification is not training. And a lot of the LEO world is this, hey, look, in a Feds, it's 4 times a year, for at least for the agencies I was with. You go, you might do a little quote unquote training here and there, maybe a half hour, an hour of just plinking or shooting steel. But the qual is like the target turns, you shoot, boom, boom, boom. You move back, shoot, boom, 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 kneel and strong arm, supports hand stuff, but it's like, it's not training. There's no pressure other than like, okay, you have 3 seconds. You have 5 seconds. You have 15 seconds to fire this amount of rounds and do a magazine exchange.
Yeah, what you see is people training for the qual and not training for real life. Like a lot of times I see qualifications and I'm like, either I know based off the qualification whether someone knows what they're talking about or not, right? Like it's very, very simple to look at a qual and see like, what is your minimum standard? And how many people are meeting that minimum standard? You'd be surprised like how many people fail. Like we did I tried out for the Florida State Guard and the qual was not difficult at all. And there was a lot of people, a lot of former people out there who hadn't picked up a gun in 10 or 15 years. And they're like, man, what am I doing wrong? And I'm like, I just haven't pulled the trigger in a while, man. Let's just get back into it and we'll refresh everything. But people tend to train for the quals because they get all upset and worried about it. And then they forget about training for real life.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
You got to do both.
And I love talking about myself, not really, but I just went to a LEO instructor course because I want to, like, this one thing I want to talk to you about too in a minute, but I want to do LEOSA qualification. So anybody, HR 218 is like when you're retired law enforcement or you have a certain vested amount of years in it, you can carry a concealed weapon or you can carry a firearm and you get a little ID card, but every year you have to qualify. So some states say, hey, you know what? All you have to do is just be a firearms instructor, NRA, whatever, certified. Some states want you to be LEO instructor certified. So I went out to the course last week, and that's where I came back with qualification is not training, because for the longest time, it was always like, you know, we're going to go qualify. That's your training day, and it's not. But we did do a lot of shooting and moving, and that's what I love, because if you ever watch any videos – you're shooting and you're not retreating, you're moving back, tactically moving back, but you're never just staying right on that X. You're always shooting and moving, and everything stationary is just, it should be out the door.
Yeah.
So it just, you have to train to that. And that's one thing I was going to talk to you about is like, there's a whole marketplace out there of X's. You know, ex-military, ex-this, ex-that, and everything who haven't pulled the trigger in a long time. You know, it's a skill that's like, it's not like riding a bike. Riding a bike, you can get back on, you can kind of wobble here and there. But when you're talking about picking up a firearm and using it to make sure that your bullet placement lands on target.
It's extremely perishable.
Yeah.
If I go like a week or two without shooting or dry firing, it shows. It shows really quickly. And I'm a good shot. I tell people I'm medium good, right? There are a lot of people out there that are still crushing me in these competitions, and I aspire to be better than them one day. However, you can see who's training and who isn't. Mm-hmm. It shows up, especially when people start doing the shoot and move, because they pull their pistol out and they start moving. They start slowing down. Like, it's time to hit the gas pedal, buddy.
And one thing I like about competitions too is I like to see the people who are like so super fast and you're like, man, they must have smoked it. But then their rounds are like all over the place. They look really cool though.
Yeah.
They look very cool.
Oh, yeah.
But getting the round play, what I love watching, like you go out there and you see like someone that you just don't expect. And all of a sudden you're like, damn, they smoked it, and their bullets are almost right on top of each other, and they smoked that round. And that's like we were talking about. You don't have to be form or anything to be smoking a match. Not at all.
No, dude. There's a 16-year-old out here. Her name's Ashlyn. She's getting like first place, like crushing these guys. And where I'm at, stationed in Florida, we've got Duke Field, Herbert Field, Eglin, 7th Special Forces Group out here. There's all kinds of law enforcement. Like we've adopted a lot of exterior law enforcement into our state. And so if you look at the practice scores and who I'm competing against, it's like military, 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 Leo, Leo, Leo. And these guys can freaking shoot. So I'm just like, I'm chasing them as best I can. I just sit there and just watch, just observe. All right. I'm going to run my stage like this guy. Mm-hmm. And I always try to squad up with people who are way better than me so I can pick their brain the whole time. Yeah. That, and I can use their gear too. Like, hey man, can I borrow your bag?
I've been doing like something where I try to shoot outside of the norms. Like for the longest, probably about 2 or 3 months now, I've been shooting a 1911.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you know, for the longest time, I loved shooting my 1911, but I never wanted to carry a 1911 because of the safety. I've always been like, oh man, I got to remember this. But now that I've been doing the matches, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. It's just become second nature.
Yeah.
And that's why I bought this Wilson, is because I'm like, hey, now that I know how to manipulate the safety and all this other stuff, I'm like, I just want a very accurate 2011 type pistol and see how it goes and see how it runs.
Yeah. The thing that a lot of people don't realize until they get a 1911 or a 2011 is you actually have to adjust your grip. So your thumb, if you're right-handed, your thumb needs to sit over that safety when you're gripping it. Because if it's not, you're going to flick that safety on your first trigger pull. And then your second trigger pull is going to be a dead gun because your friggin' safety's on. You don't realize it. And I have done that so many times.
Oh, my God.
Lots of times.
And then I started shooting like this little 320. I shoot a 365. I want to shoot everything. I want to be proficient on everything. So if I just pick up any firearm, I'll be able to shoot it.
I think that's super important too, especially nowadays with the way our country's going. You never know. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to shoot just about anything.
So what is
this? I want to be able to.
That reminds me, like, no, we were talking about it, like where the country's going and stuff like that. But the Florida, is it the Florida State Guard or Florida?
Florida State Guard. So the Florida State Guard is something that's already in place. It is kind of like a reserve unit for former military. Not everybody in the State Guard was former military. But Ron DeSantis, I think it was last year, he said, hey, we're going to add another unit to the Florida State Guard, and it's the Florida State Guard SOG, Special Operations Group. So this one, their requirement was you either needed to be former special forces, you needed to be a law enforcement firefighter, and I think there was one other thing that they were looking for. So his thing, if you look at the training and what we're doing, it's like very ambiguous. No one really knows yet. Like we haven't really been briefed in on what's actually going on. But I do know they released something the other day that DeSantis said he was going to be sending his, or a, if Governor Abbott asked for it, he said he would support him with his SOG team out in Texas on the border.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Yep. So
now, what do? You natural, like, meet like once a month or just on call?
It's an on-call thing. We're all volunteers and all of us are out of the military. No one's in the reserves. No one's in the National Guard. The State Guard is totally separate from all of these. And basically, if we have a natural disaster or some kind of event where they need a little extra oomph, then we would deploy with the actual National Guard.
That's pretty cool.
This is pretty cool.
As you're doing this, I'm like looking up Virginia Defense Force and all this other stuff. I'm like, huh, if I can get free ammo.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Let me go shoot someone else's ammo. I love shooting other people's ammo. Yeah,
volunteer and shoot some ammo. No problem. I'll do it.
So yeah, it's super awesome, world? Man. So the private sector is bumping off. Obviously,
I know. I've noticed your social media. It's like your whole life revolves around shooting. And I'm like, okay, I can get behind.
Oh, that. Yeah, dude. Absolutely. It's taken me, 2.5 years to get here. But just word of mouth, put myself out there. I literally printed these little flyers out. And I went to every massage parlor, every hair salon, every nail salon that I could find, all the local coffee shops, anywhere where there was a bulletin. I went up and I put my flyer. I talked to the business owners. I was like, hey, my name's Callie. This is what I do. And that's how I've gotten actually Black Rifle Coffee in Niceville. I've gotten a lot of clients from Black Rifle. But yeah, I've kind of stepped away from the private training because it's very hard to market yourself on social media nowadays. I post anything with the firearms in it. It hits an algorithm. And unless you follow me, you don't really see it. So private it is. And then, fill in those classes. I can get 3 or 4 students into a class, but I want to have like 10 students in a class to really make it worth my time. That's another reason kind of why I went over into the private side. The one-on-one training pays better, but it's also better for the client because I can actually, I have the time to sit there and put my hands on them and make those little critiques where if we were in a larger class, I probably wouldn't have been able to do it. The information's way more diluted.
I love that, you know, and that's one of the reasons I really, really wanted to have you on this because I've been doing as much firearm stuff as possible to get myself better, but I love coaching people. I love the one-on-one interaction or one-on-two, you know, but I like the idea of we need more coaches out there. We need more individual coaches, small classes, you know, but if you're going to like you individually putting on a class of 10 people, that's rough. 5 to 10 people is rough. But if you have 3 or 4 people, and yeah, you could put on a course. My thing is I really want to get out there and I want to do coaching. I want to coach people like you remember, we were just talking about a little while ago about a lot of people are so afraid to do a competition because they don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And I had a good friend, Hannah, probably about a month and a half ago, and she's a former LEO. But she was nervous to do a competition. And I'm like, well, if you already an LEO, this should be nothing.
Yeah.
But it's that nervous thing.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be nervous. You could be, as long as someone sits with you and teaches you how to draw safely, you know your fundamentals of safe firing, you could put some rounds on target. That's great. Your rounds hit the target. Then you could work on like accuracy and everything else. But just,
yeah, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to know all the rules 100%. Like you just, if you don't know anything about competition, like I didn't look up any information about competitions or anything like that. I just had people telling me, hey, you need to do comps. Like, fine, I'll do one. So I signed up for one, and I signed up for one totally blind about how stages go. But I was with some people who had shot a whole bunch, and they walked me through the process. And I was like, oh, okay, so now I understand. And it was a steep learning curve. But once you get over that learning curve, it's all downhill from there, man. It's so much fun. And it's just data. That's it. You're just getting information.
99% of people that you meet there are going to be like, cool, how can I help you? This mm-hmm. is your first match? Cool. Because they'll be like, hey, everybody raise your hand if it's your first match. And you're like, oh, that's my first. And then people are like, oh,
oh yeah, cool. That's something we do like for our very first stage that we go to. We get, hey, who's never shot a match before? And everybody that raises their hand, we put them at the bottom of the list. We coach them through everything because, you know, you don't want someone who's never done this going first. Right. Like you're just really throwing them to the wolves at that point. You let them be at the back end where they can watch how other people are shooting the stage. They can learn, okay, here's when we're going to go pace targets, or range is cold, we can go down range now. Like there's a lot of little things that you want to learn, but you just got to do it. Right. You have to just go do it.
I kind of want to live stream like a whole match, not a match, yeah, but just a stage.
Yeah.
I got these cheesy like Meta glasses where you could video and everything. It's like, huh?
Are they cool? Do they work well? Have you tried them out?
My gosh, yeah. Every first person shooting video I've had in the past 2 months on my IG is all those Meta.
All the Meta. Glasses.
They are unbelievable.
Send me a link.
You can only, if you don't stream, you can only shoot for a minute at a time. But that's perfect for a stage. You know, most stages are done within 20, 30 seconds when it comes to just pistol. But they're awesome. They're really cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look into that. I did do this. I'm like, hey, will you film me?
Yeah, I do that all the time. But I'm like, they don't get the good angles. Come on, my head's too big. My body.
Yeah, right. I'm like, hey, I have to coach people on it. I'm like, I used to work for a production company, so like, stand right here. I'm like, stand right here. Don't be directly behind me because you're not gonna see anything. Like, you need to be off to the side. I don't care if you're seeing my hits. I want you to see me. It's me shooting, not the stage.
The only thing I would go back is I would probably just get the Meta. I have the transition ones, so that it'd be clear or dark. But I'm like, I really don't use them as sunglasses. But they're very good image quality, too. And I use them for my daughter's soccer and everything else. I'm like, how many times I'm out there and I'm like, I go to get my phone up. Now I just put my finger up and I go beep. And I can get like, you know, I don't miss a play.
And you're not doing this.
Yes.
This is so annoying to me.
I know.
Like, seeing, and I get it that parents want to capture what their kids are doing, but you only get to see this much of what's actually happening.
I know, you turn these things on and it's like, boom. The other cool thing with them is you, like if I'm playing soccer with her, it's almost like first person. Like when I'm kicking the ball, it's almost like a first person shooter. And yeah, that's the cool thing with them is it's just, you could like, I get very bored at some of these games, you know, like, mm-hmm. so I could listen to tunes and everything else. Nobody knows I have earphones in because they're not earphones. You could like listen to tunes, you could listen to audiobooks, everything else. I should, you know, Meta, if you want to give me like a discount code, come on, let's do this. But no, it's just,
have you tried out the Shooter Global, the Shooters Global app, the Shot Timer? So you know, JJ Rakraza,
yeah,
competition shooter. So he's been kind of like the face for it. So check it out on Instagram. My last couple competitions, the last two that I've done, have been with that Shooters Global. A friend of mine got one and that's his job. Instead of running the timer, he's running that for everybody. And it's really cool because it shows you your hits and your split times. Like you get your first shot, you get your last shot, all your splits, everything. And it's super, super cool. And the shot timer itself is designed to be durable, right? Like a lot, I've dropped shot timers and they just disintegrated. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, there is $300, right? These things, like they did drop tests from, you know, two stories, bounce, it's fine. It's waterproof too, right? So if we're shooting in the rain, your shot timer is not going to crap out on you.
If they could come up with like a shooting camera connected to something like that too.
Cause it is, like it's an app. It's an app that connects to your phone. Uh-huh. And I think it connects to your Apple Watch as well.
Very cool.
It connects to your phone and it's real time blinking information it's overlaid on the video.
Okay. Yeah. I understand what you're talking about now. I'll check that out.
Huh. Yeah. They're pretty cool, man. I really like it.
Yeah, I just.
I'm gonna be honest though. I only really use my shot timer just to stress myself out for the shot. Like, I very rarely am I like, what are my splits? I'm trying to be more reactive with the beep. Because like, if you watch a lot of my videos, there's a delay. There's like a half second delay between when the beep goes off and when I start moving. And I don't know what that delay is or why it's happening to me, but. That's mostly why I use my shot timers, just so I can practice hearing that beep and moving as fast as I can. Aside from getting like, maybe I'll look at my doubles every once in a while just to kind of see where I'm at. But I'm at the point now where I can hear, I know when I'm at, you know, a 30th of a second for a double versus a 15th of a second for a double. I've shot enough to where I can hear that. So I don't have to look. I just want the stress.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, stress is the best thing. One thing we did last week that was really cool was you stand next to your partner, and as soon as you see them go for their gun is when you draw. So you're both trying to like come off. You're both on the line. You're both
so it's set in front of your, periphery. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're looking at your periphery for as soon as they make that furtive gesture, you draw and fire and still see who could draw faster. The other thing you do is you hold up a piece of brass in your hand and one of you drops it. And as soon as it hits the ground, you have to draw and fire.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to have to try that.
And the other one was we did is your students line up behind you and there's a person next to you. And they were trying to do the 21-foot rule. So you're facing towards a target. The person's next to you face the opposite way. And as soon as they take off running, as soon as you see them run, you're supposed to draw and fire the target. And whenever that fire snaps off, they're supposed to stop running and you see how far they actually ran and how far
how many people are getting touched before they're taking that shot. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Or how many feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
I've done some of that force on force training where luckily I've practiced my concealed draw and I can get to my pistol pretty quickly and send some rounds within, you know, like 2 seconds, which is pretty fast, but one more second and he's got the drop on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to try that. I'm going to let some of my students do that and see like closing the distance drill. If they touch you, you don't get to shoot. Back of the line.
Yeah. I love the different things like, I'm not even going to tell you about this until we get offline.
Okay.
It's the piccolo paddle.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be funny. I love it though. But you're doing the IG thing. If someone wants to train with you, they're going to be local to Florida, but we know.
I travel.
You travel.
Yeah, I travel.
Have gun, will travel.
Yep. Have gun, will travel. I will not travel to California. I will not travel to New Jersey, New York, any of those states where I would be considered a felon. But you're always more than welcome to come out here to me, to Element. I've had people set up private training that way where they came out for a couple of days and we do courses together like that. But yeah, if you're looking for me, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and my website's called thevalkyrietribe.com. My email is callie@thevalkyrietribe.com. Or my personal Instagram is callie_bear, Callie Bear, 2 underscores.
Well, I am coming out to Georgia next month for the IDPA state championship, something like that. So I will come by. I'll come over to our shoot.
Hell yeah, man. And USPSA is coming back to Element too. So you'll see me at some USPSA matches.
I'll be everywhere. I have Jeep, have guns, we'll travel.
Have Jeep, we'll travel. Have guns, we'll travel. Hell yeah, man. Well, as always, as good as always, and I love talking and getting on these podcasts with you.
Every time.